Hello, Reagan here, and welcome to Twisted States, where we take a look week by week, state by state, at some of America's most nefarious killers, elusive cryptids, and bizarre mysteries. This week we are in week 12. We are headed to Washington State in the Pacific Northwest, and we're going to talk a little bit about Northern State Hospital. Now, Washington... back up a little bit and talk about the state first. Okay, so Washington State was the 42nd state to join the Union. That happened in 1889. It's the same age as my sewing machine. That's so cool. Anyway, a beautiful state. Rains a lot. In Washington, in 1909, there were two mental hospitals that were deemed to be for the criminally insane. Cedar Woolley, before the turn of the century, in the late 1800s, had gone through a really bad financial crisis. In order to get back on their feet, it was proposed that they should build a mental health facility, an asylum. It was something that wasn't a short demand for us, for sure, because at that time, everybody was considered, you know, I mean, if you had any problem, it's like, well, you need to be, you know, put into a facility, locked away. There was a lot of stigma attached to mental health issues. So families were quick to, you know, shuffle family members that needed help off into facilities. The state hospital is located in Cedar Woolley, Washington, which is about a 90-minute drive away from Seattle. It's listed on the National Register of Historic Places now. It was designed by Seattle architects Saunders and Lawton, and the grounds were designed by the Olmsted brothers. They were landscape architects. The hospital was open from 1912 to 1976. Over the span of those years, there were roughly 1,500 deaths on that property, with all kinds of reasons why happened, you know, from natural causes, old age to falling to strokes to, you know, suicides, whatever. Like, people died, but a lot. That's a lot of people. And the hardest part, the most disconcerting part about it was they had a very poorly maintained cemetery. And they didn't keep good records of who those people were. And a lot of the people that were there, that passed while they were there, their families didn't claim them, didn't claim their bodies. They had a crematorium on property, and they cremated a lot of people. And there were a lot of their remains just left there, you know, just people just... these people died and were forgotten by their own families. And some of them didn't have families. They didn't have anybody. And that's like, that's the saddest thing to me, you know. It's nothing. Northern State Hospital sat on ultimately 1,086 acres. It started off as 800 acres, and then that was expanded upon. It had a working dairy farm, poultry farm, beef farm. I believe they had a paper mill there. Yeah. They had quite a bit of things going on. And initially they took in a lot of inmates from some of the other facilities in the state that were deemed harmless, but in need of, you know, additional care. So they would train them to work on the farm, milking cows, gathering up eggs, working the land, working the gardening areas, the farming areas, and, you know, doing that kind of stuff, learning good vocational work, and it helped to rehabilitate them, for them to get out there and, you know, do work. So good vocational training. I would totally sign up for something like that. Like, yeah, I literally like, let's go. It sounds awesome. It really does. I could totally get into that. As long as it was actually like as kumbaya as the sound. You know what I mean? So it started off on a good foot. It wasn't ideal. It was an insane asylum, you know? So, of course, it had its drawbacks. But there were people there that meant well and cared, and they tried really hard to give these people good treatment and help them. Eventually, though, they would end up with 2,500 patients, which was like their maximum number of people. And like I said, they had a lot of people that died there. It's just, it's crazy. Treatment for mental health issues was a lot different back then. There were so many practices that we look at now and go, why? What? No, that's not okay. They used to do hydrotherapy, and they would either use really, really hot or really, really cold water, and they would like fasten you down into a tub where you couldn't get up and put you, you know, subject you to either really hot or really cold temperatures. There were lobotomies being performed, which is basically turning people into actual zombies. Lobotomies are just a horrible mark on mental health. Like, there's just, that's the worst, top of the, you know, I mean, of all things, like, that's one of the worst things that they ever, like, came up with in my eyes, you know. A lot of the medications and stuff, I mean, in my personal opinion, this is my opinion, don't at me, okay, it's just my opinion. A lot of the medications that they try to push people on now, in current times, are either dosed too high or just not right, you know. There's some medications that shouldn't even be on the market. I firmly believe that. And I also believe that dosing is a big issue. I mean, just like with me, because of my weight, when I went and was seeking help for mental issues, they were like dosing me like I was a large horse. And that was a big issue because I'm very sensitive to medication, and the smallest doses of things highly affect me. So taking 10 times what I feel comfortable taking, I'm lucky that I'm even alive at this point. People are crazy. They are the crazy ones trying to, you know, anyway. But my point is like, I mean, even with our modern treatment options and stuff, like, there's still a lot of room for improvement, I believe. And back then it was brutal. They were just like, we're going to shock this out of you. We're going to waterboard you until you quit acting crazy. We're going to cut parts of your brain out. We're just going to, you know, whatever we have to do, it's going to be, you know, it's very extreme, very, very extreme, very over the top. But, you know, at the same time, that hospital, like, they didn't have like proper security because there was no need to, because they didn't have like criminal, like, in their minds, it was like, well, it's, they're not, they're the harmless insane, the harmless insane. So a lot of like the local school children would go like chill and hang out there and get to know some of the patients and stuff, like hanging out on the grounds around the place. Some of the patients would like bolt, just leave. They wouldn't stay. People just like walk off or whatever. It was a big boost for the economy. It did help keep Cedar Woolley afloat for a long time. It stimulated the economy in the area. A lot of people that lived in the town worked at the hospital, and you know, the hospital itself generated a lot because of all of the money that they were spending to, you know, house and feed all these people and take care of them. And then the farm was producing enough to handle a lot of that and pick up slack. And then they had, of course, extra and, you know, and it was a thing. And it was, you know, it had its place, I guess. But here's an excerpt from an article written in the Cedar Woolley Courier Times, December 6, 1945. Plans for an extensive building program with many changes and additions at the Northern State Hospital are being considered. According to Dr. Clifford Halverson, the new superintendent, already a big lunchroom is being constructed in the basement of the chapel building where the women's sewing room was formerly located. This is the first step in an ambitious program. Dr. J.W. Robinson, assistant supervisor of state institutions, who is here from Olympia, was much pleased with the progress of the improvements, he said. Fred Gage, former storekeeper at the Western State Custodial School at Buckley, who is now in charge of the canteen at the Northern State Hospital, is planning the work on the new lunchroom, which is to be a social gathering place for both employees and patients, similar to those in other state institutions. There will be a big lunch counter and three tables and a small kitchen and cakes and pies and sandwiches, coffee, soft drinks, and regular soda fountain service will be maintained. There will be candy, cosmetics, and a large variety of things on sale. And the big room will be a place for people at the hospital to drop in for a cup of coffee, sandwich, or a purchase of some of the big stock of supplies. As Dr. Halverson explained, is expected to make for institutional betterment and be a sort of social headquarters. There will be one paid employee, and the others will all be patients. So, yeah, they, they had the patients running everything. Yikes. Here's another article here. Part 4 of the most popular series in the size of 4 key articles. Okay. Northern State Hospital closes, part 4, The Death Throes, 1973. A hospital is drying, a town is grieving. By Tom Reed, Seattle Post Intelligencer, science medical writer, May 6, 1973. Exodus time has arrived at Northern State Hospital. Its closure, rumored and threatened for the past several years, is official now. Many of the 400 staffers gather at this bulletin board several times a day to look for job notices. The acting superintendent is clearing out his desk. He was the first casualty of Governor Evans' veto pen. And for the 265 remaining patients, a trip lies ahead. About 125 will be transferred to Western State Hospital. The remaining 130 will be discharged during the next 5 months. This is the expectation of Dr. James Reardon, who has been acting superintendent here since 1971. But he no longer holds that post, having been replaced May 1st by Dr. Julio DeFuria, superintendent of Western State. Along with Reardon, went three other key officials, the business manager, plant superintendent, and director of nursing services, all replaced by Western personnel. For Dr. Reardon, the transition appears relatively easy. I'm going back to the private practice of psychiatry, he said. But for the town of Cedar Woolley, the loss of the hospital could spell deep trouble, for it is school levy time. The district will vote on May 22nd for the second and last time on a $790,000 special levy. We know the closure will hurt us. We just don't know how much, mused Al Dorn, local realtor and treasurer of the Special Levy Committee. There's a good chance that the levy's defeat in February was tied to the strong rumors of the time that Northern would close. A good portion of the Northern staff live in Cedar Woolley, while others live in the nearby communities of Burlington, Mount Vernon, and rural Skagit County. A salesman in Dorn's own office had noticed 12 to 15 houses up for sale that he knows are owned by families employed at Northern. It's bad enough if the wife works there, but when they both do, that family's in real trouble, he said. Raleigh Gaines, president of the Chamber of Commerce, is concerned about the levy, but he says the closure now won't hurt Cedar Woolley much as it might have 2 years ago. Bendix Steel has more people working there now than ever before, he said. We don't have any empty commercial building in the downtown area, and a couple of new ones have been built. He said the Northern Cascades Highway, Highway 20, which opened in 1972, has not helped the town yet, but he expects that if More motels, restaurants, and camping areas are put in, it will. Not only the hospital staff, but the patients, too, contributed to the town's economy, Gaines said. Many of them came in to buy clothing. You know, there haven't been any fences out there for years, and the patients do a lot of business in town. These town shopping trips, without supervision of hospital personnel, were part of their treatment regimen. Getting the patients back on their feet as functioning members of the community who would control their own destiny and cope with life's problems. In its heyday, when society's answer to the mentally ill was to stick them as far out of sight as possible, there was a patient population of 2,700 at Northern. The beautiful campus snuggled against the Cascade foothills, had its own farm, and provided much of its own food. Two things changed all that. Society found a conscience and realized the mentally ill have rights, especially rights to treatment, not just custody. And several medical breakthroughs in the 1950s introduced drugs that can support a disturbed person and help lead them back into society. Patient populations and length of stay started skidding at that point. Last year, King County was removed from Northern's catchment area, and 150 patients were transferred to Western in 5 months. As it became apparent that Northern no longer was serving at full capacity, plans for alternate use were developed and put forward by legislators from the four counties it serves, San Juan, Island, Whatcom, and Skagit. It was this alternate use that the legislature approved and Governor Evans vetoed. Under the plan, Northern would have continued as a limited mental hospital, would have continued geriatric services, mission training, and alcoholism treatment center. In addition, certain functions already there in leased quarters would have remained. These include two Head Start classes, a Department of Public Assistance office, Cedar Woolley Senior Citizen Center, an adolescent center, a sheltered workshop for the trainable mentally, a family planning clinic, and a homemakers program for women on welfare. These latter functions, not directly related to the hospital, will remain. A total of $500,000 has been appropriated to maintain the grounds and provide heat. One of the skeleton force of 13 who will remain after the closure is L.M. Red Sizemore, president of Local 478 of the Washington State Hospital Employees Union. He is a steam engineer and has been employed at Northern for 19 years. He was asked what his union is doing about the closure in terms of helping members find jobs. But Sizemore claims that he had nothing official and complained that even the men from Western who were here this week were unsure if the skeleton skeleton staff would be 12 or 18 or 23 or what. He maintains that a similar attempt in California to close mental hospitals and shift patient care onto community mental health systems is failing, and there he predicts failure in this state too. Some of the staff members express cautious reservations about the new system. The state has given grants to the nearby counties to bolster community mental health centers. Whatcom County was given $200,000, as was Sonomish, while Skagit County was given $100,000. In theory, the discharged patients who still require medication and treatment from time to time will receive it all at these centers. For those who live in remote areas, a traveling team is envisioned, but it's not clear if or when this part of the program will develop. As for future uses for the Northern State grounds and facilities, nothing is known. There was a report that Puget Sound Power and Light might use a place as an operating base while constructing a place as an operating base while constructing a plant nearby nuclear generating plant. But Dr. Reardon said some Puget Power men came by, looked at the place, and were not interested. The wards and private rooms that are now in use or can be put in use with the minimum of effort will provide 300 beds. In addition, there are apartments on the grounds which can be fixed up to live in, Dr. Reardon said. But if anything is going to happen to Northern State, it probably will have to happen soon. Dr. Reardon said the last major maintenance was in 1967, and since the only a minimum had taken place, each winter the buildings are subjected to almost constant rain and a good deal of snowfall and cold temperatures. For now, the closure is official. Patients will be admitted through July 1st, and transfers out are to be completed by October 1st, then it will be all over, except the legislature meets again this fall. Crazy. So, yeah, it went down pretty crazily. Okay, and then in 1973, the Northern State was reprieved for 2 years by a proposal that decided they would offer limited, have limited facilities running at Northern State for another 2 years. They said that was like a cost of $4.4 million. And then they said of the 4.4 million, Morgan said 1.3 million would come mainly from patients' fees from the Medicaid and Medicare, community agencies participating in the center, and other minor sources. And the remainder would come from the bond funds. And then it closed in 76, but in 1978, on August 4th, the Economic Development Administration had given Washington State a $1.04 million grant to help renovate Northern State Hospital in Skagit County. Senators Warren G. Magnuson and Henry M. Jackson announced the award yesterday. The old hospital will be converted to a multi-service center with quarters for the Young Adult Conservation Corps, which has evolved into the present Job Corps, and office space for the Department of Social and Health Services. It will house 100 core staff members and 400 young adults, as well as about 70 employees from the Social Health Services Department. The state will contribute $464,400 to the project. That was in the Seattle Times on August 4th, 1978. So, portions of the property were used for this or that, for a while. But overall, like I said, it closed as officially Northern State Hospital in 1970. Six, and crazy, just crazy. Huh. If you look at Skagit River Journal, it's really fascinating. They have a lot of information on there. A lot of the information is varied. It's a little bit of everything, and some of it doesn't, like, it's not cohesive, or it doesn't, there's a lot of conflicting information as far as, like, some of the stuff goes. My cat's snoring. Just crazy, though. It's interesting. It's just so interesting. Like, how... it's funny. I looked it up on YouTube. I always, like, you know, I work backwards, so the last thing I do is, like, go and see what kind of YouTube stuff I can get myself into before I actually, like, record or whatever. And... there's no real, I mean, maybe if somebody can find it and share it with me, that'd be great. Over on Instagram or whatever, message me. But there's nobody posted a history. Like, some people, like, talk about a little bit of, like, whatever, you know, and I know there's a lot more there, but on YouTube, it's like ghost hunting at Northern State Hospital, you know, EVP sessions at Northern State Hospital. Being that there were that many people that died there, regardless of how much of a skeptic I am, I can honestly say that I can almost guarantee that if a place is going to be haunted, I'm sure that would be it. But I don't know. I don't know. It just feels kind of cheap to go and just post these things like that and not, you know, I don't know. It feels cheap. not knocking it. I don't know. I don't care. Even the stuff that's just like, ooh, ghost, oh, you know, at least you're bringing some kind of, a recognition to this place, letting people know about it. And, you know, it's better than nothing. I'll take it. Because I think that's how I heard about it initially, was like somebody was like, you know, spending the night at Northern State Hospital or something like that. You know, and then the proper people did a thing there, I think. Maybe, no, was it them? No, they did one in like somewhere in the New England states, I believe. But somebody I watched did it and I was just like, oh, interesting. Let's file that away with places to look up more information about. But then there's not a lot of information online. And like I said, I'm trying to get a hold of this book, but I haven't had a whole lot of luck for whatever reason, the Under the Red Roof 100 years of Northern State Hospital history. Yeah, I'm looking into that. So I'll let you know. But I'm going to go ahead and go because I'm still talking and I've been doing so for quite a while now. And this is probably completely disjointed and makes no sense. But my apologies if you're still here and you're still listening. I appreciate you. Thank you. And please check me out over on Instagram, Twisted States, and YouTube at Twisted States. If you're watching this on YouTube, please comment down below and let me know that you're here. Say hi. And if you're listening, if you want to, you know, peep my ugly mug, Twisted States on YouTube. And yeah, I don't post the YouTube videos until the following like week or whatever. Usually I post them on Friday, but I'm recording this on like Friday. So I'm really kind of off my schedule, a little tossed right now, but we'll get back on track. I still haven't given up. And even though things are a little weird and I missed a week altogether, we're getting there and I haven't given up completely. And yeah, so sorry for the disjointed mess, but at least it's something. So I'm going to go. I will talk to you next week and we'll slowly continue to work our way east and see what kind of trouble we can get into. I don't know what's next, but we're going to pop on over here and check it out and we will find out together because I have no idea until I start recording what the heck I'm talking about next week. Not really. I kind of planned a little bit, but lately it's been nightmare fuel. My life has been a little tossed and weird and I've been on this sewing kick. So yeah, anyway, okay, I'm gonna go. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for joining me, thanks for listening, and I'm gonna shut up now. Bye.